that verse that we are looking at, I'm going to ask Carmen if you will continue just playing for us. Or if you guys can just switch. This is the verse that we are focusing on. But this morning we're going to practically begin to do something. So I want you to turn to someone close to you. And we will only have time maybe for two people to say this to each other. Say the following: it is well with my soul. Why? All right, let me finish first, then you can take the time to do it. It is well with my soul. Why? Because the God of peace himself is in the process of sanctifying me completely. And my whole spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless until the day that Jesus returns. Take a moment and just say that to each other. Dan, you're welcome to take a seat. Father, we are so thankful for the fact that you saved us, that you died for us on the cross, that one day you will come to fetch us to be with you forever. God, but this morning we rejoice in the time in between, in the process of us becoming completely sanctified. Our soul, our spirit, our body, our whole being made whole to conform to the image of Christ Jesus. And as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would continue to stir in through your spirit, to stir our spirits to embark and to continue to journey with you as we become completely whole. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So it is Mother's Day. Thank you for being here. It's the best place to start Mother's Day. It's good to see all of you. So I'm just going to do a very brief recap. What have we been looking at? We've been looking at the fact that, firstly, it is a work of God that makes us whole. It is the work of Jesus Christ. And we started this journey immediately after Easter Sunday, the place where Christians across the world come together. And on that particular Friday and Sunday across the world, there is the same message. Just think about that for a moment. That is how central it is to our faith. It is so central to our understanding of what God has done that for those 2 days, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, pretty much the same thing would be said everywhere across the world in every single church. It is crucial to our understanding that God is the one who makes us whole. And we looked at the fact that there's a problem, and that problem is sin. And for that problem, we need a solution, and that solution is the cross of Jesus. But the result of that is that something incredible happens. That everyone who is in Christ Jesus has become new. The old is gone, the new has come. God comes and he makes us new. He washes us, he cleanses us. And he begins to declare things over us that it's no longer you that live, but it is Christ who lives within you. You have been redeemed to a new life. Last week we looked at this. Just again, a foundational thought before we continue to get into some of the practical things from next week. That we are firstly set apart. We are firstly sanctified to be His. And before we start this journey and we begin to get into works and things that we need to do, they are crucial. But before we get to that place, we've got to understand that the first thing that we were called to was to be with Him, to be His child, for us collectively to be His people. You see, you were saved from something, but you were saved to something. You've got to hear that. As we continue on this journey, you've got to hear that, yes, you were saved from your sin, but more than that, you were saved to something else. I'm going to read you a little bit of a list. You were saved from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from destruction to glory, from death to life, from hopelessness to hope, from guilt to to peace with God, from condemnation to forgiveness, from shame to a clear conscience, for being alone to a place of having eternal companionship. God saying that you are mine. From enmity to friendship, from distance to nearness, from children of wrath to children of God, adopted as his sons and as his daughters. God did not just die on the cross to wash away your sins. He washed away your sins so that you can have access to that which he has always planned for you, to be his child, to be forgiven, to be cleansed, to stand in righteousness, to stand in boldness, to be unashamed, to reflect his glory. We have been called to be his children. He has adopted us and made us his own. As I was just thinking about this in the week, the strangest thought came up to me. And firstly, I thought, I'm not even sure if I can find this in the Bible, because it's not something that I've necessarily heard before. But this thought just continued to linger. And this is the thought, that this journey is a journey of joy. So often when we hear the word sanctification, you have got to become holy. You've got to change your ways. You've got to become more like him. It almost seems like a burden. It seems like something that's unattainable. It feels like God is pointing the finger at us and saying, this has got to change, and this has got to change, and here you are wrong, and why aren't you doing this? I want to declare over you this morning that this journey of sanctification is a journey of joy. And the statement I wrote here says, when God sanctifies me, the process might be difficult, but the result is joy. I found an incredible scripture. It's rather long, but I'm going to read through it. And pretty much this sums up the first 3 weeks, last 2 weeks, and this Sunday that we're going to talk about. It says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. His Spirit sanctified you. This is what we're going to focus on this morning. As a result, you have obeyed him, and you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It talks about where this journey starts, the cleansing that happens because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to focus on this word, obedience, for a moment. You see, obedience and our level of obedience is a great measuring stick, a yardstick for our sanctification. Because what we can say, another way we can define this and say that we need to become more obedient to what God requires of us, and that is our journey of sanctification. Listen to some of these statements. As I was reading, I came across this. Suppose that you've always concealed private sources of income when filing your tax returns. It's a practical example. When you come to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, you begin to tell the truth in your tax returns or on your tax returns. That is sanctification. Suppose that as a wife, you are a little bit nagging towards your husband because he's not quite where you expect him to be. And what if you come to realize the truth in Jesus, that he has empowered you to be a silent voice, a voice that can demonstrate and show the power and the transformational ability that God has. And you begin to respect your husband and quietly show the incredible love and power of God. That is sanctification. It is Mother's Day, so we cannot pick just on the ladies. What if men, you don't treat your wife, your daughters, with the respect that they deserve? What if you don't include them and see them and treat them as equals in the eyes of God? Remember that annoying little scripture that says there are no longer Greeks and Jews, male and female. We are all equal in God's eyes. What if you begin to realize that this is the truth of God's word? And you begin to love your wife in the way that God loved the church. How did he love the church? He loved the church by dying, by giving himself for her. And you begin to serve your wife. Fathers, you begin to serve your daughters and honor them. That, my friend, is sanctification. Suppose for the younger people, and hopefully not for the elder people, you're sleeping with your girlfriend. One day, as you're reading your Bible and as you're praying, you realize that this is not the best that God has for you. And you begin to look past the practical of, I don't know how we're going to make it financially, but you decide, I am moving out. And this relationship will be formed on what God says, this relationship and how it should be done. That is sanctification. Sanctification is a very real process of hearing the word of God and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit. This is key. We'll get to this. Allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to transform you so that you begin to become obedient to that word. There's a beautiful passage in Acts 16. Paul is somewhere, I think, in some strange name that I can't pronounce. He meets a lady called Lydia. And as he's having a conversation with her, it says that she's a trader in expensive material, purple cloth. It also says that she's a worshiper of God. So immediately she's not a Gentile. She's not a complete, as a Gentile, yes, but she's not a complete unbeliever. She believes in God. And then the following happens. As she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. That, my friends, is sanctification. In her case, it was the starting point, the salvation, beginning to believe that Jesus Christ is the source of our salvation. But that so beautifully describes the rest of the journey. As we listen to the preaching of the word, as we read the word, as we have a friend send us a message, a friend pray with us, the ugly cries of people on our shoulders that Camille spoke about this morning. And in that moment, we declare the truth of God to that person. And that person opens their hearts, opens their ears, and allows the Spirit of God to begin to work in their lives and responds. That is sanctification. So, I have lost my way a little bit. Let me come back. His Spirit has made us holy. As a result, we have become obedient because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now may God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter continues, he says, it is by his great mercy that we have been born again. We looked at that over the last 2 weeks. That when we become born again, our spirits become alive. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, they died. And death became to rule over humanity. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of his great mercy, we have been born again. Our spirits have become alive. And our spirits can connect with God. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with a great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through our faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. Isn't this exactly what he wrote in Thessalonians when he said, may God keep your whole spirit, soul, and body until the day of Christ Jesus, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for us. So be truly glad. Be truly glad. Everything that we've talked about so far, everything in those verses is sanctification. If you put one word over it, it's sanctification. The process of becoming holy, the process of becoming set apart, the process of becoming to look more and more like Jesus. So truly, be glad. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. The process of sanctification, though it might be difficult, always results in joy. His trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. You loved him even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust in him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. You see, it is a joy. It is a joy to become more like Jesus. It's not a burden. It is a joy when God comes to us and he says, I want to speak to you about something. I want to make you look more like Jesus. And I want to address this one issue. Our response should be, that is amazing. Because when God is done with us, we get to look more like Jesus. The process of sanctification is a joyous process. I want to try and illustrate it like this. Remember when the first week we spoke about the fact that we have a positional sanctification? So the moment that we accepted Jesus Christ, we are made completely holy. It is a positional sanctification. But now in our everyday lives, we need to work that out. We need to deal with the things that he brings up. So that in our everyday life, we begin to look like the position or the potential that we have in Jesus. I think it's an illustration that you'll understand. We see it so often. We have young people, they come through, they just finished with school, and they become these incredible sports stars. They have so much potential. They have so much talent. One of two things is going to happen. They are either going to realize the potential and truly become the superstar in the sport, or they're not going to fulfill their potential. And someone with less potential will become not the superstar, but the star. You see, what normally happens in this journey is that the potential is recognized. The scout will see them somewhere, and they will begin to speak to them. And for the first week or two, just on raw talent, just on ability, they can perform at incredible levels. But guess what? In those first 2 weeks or the first month or the first 2 months, the enemy, the other team, gets to see what they are capable of. And maybe they are a one-hit wonder kid. They can only do one thing well. They go one sidestep. They've got one shot that they can play. They've got one trick up their sleeves. And once the opposition sees that trick, they develop a plan to stand against it. And suddenly the superstar is stuck. Last week, he ran circles around everyone. This week, he can't move. You see, the potential has to be developed. And sometimes, probably my favorite sport is cricket. You see the following, that the bowler who is older is better. He's slower. His body hurts more. He He breaks down more. He can bowl less deliveries, but he's got more experience. He's allowed the process to work in his life. And he's no longer just functioning on the potential that he has. And they will probably appoint a mentor to this young athlete. And this mentor will come alongside him. And this mentor will begin to tell him things like, there will be days when you will fail. There will be days and weeks and months when you will read in the newspaper, why are you still picking this guy? He can't do anything right. And this mentor will come alongside him and remind him that you have incredible potential. And if you are willing to work through this, you will become the superstar. I want to flip that and I want to say to you, you have incredible potential. The Word of God declares that the moment that you accept Jesus Christ, you have been seated with Him in heavenly places. How much more potential do you need? The question is not this morning where you are sitting. The question this morning is, are you allowing God to work this process out so that now, in this life, in this moment, in your marriage, with your children, with your finances, with your relationships, you reflect Jesus Christ? You see, God wants the potential to be manifest in this life. And how does He do this? He does it through a work of His Holy Spirit. You see, just as God knew that we are not able to save ourselves and He had to send Jesus, and Jesus had to die on the cross so that we can be saved, in the same way, God knows that we can't sanctify ourselves. We can't ourselves get from that place of potential to the place of realizing that potential in this life. But if we allow the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do in us, then that potential will be realized. In Ezekiel 36, Old Testament prophecy, it says, I will put my Spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey all my regulations. What word can we write over that? I will put my Spirit in you and I will take you through a journey of sanctification. I will cause you to hear my word. Like Lydia, you will respond to my word and your actions will be changed. So does actions need to change? Yes. Does what we do need to change? Yes. But how does it happen? When we respond to God and we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It says it quite beautifully. Surely you must know that people who practice evil cannot possess God's eternal realm, God's kingdom. And we can put other words there. People who are not being sanctified cannot possess God's kingdom. In fact, there's a verse that says, without holiness, it is impossible to see God. We need to go through this process. So he says, stop being deceived. People are continued to engage in sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, sexual perversion, homosexuality, fraud, greed, drunkenness, verbal abuse, or extortion. These will not inherit God's kingdom realm. And then it says, it is true that some of you once lived those lifestyles. So there's an understanding that the process of sanctification has begun. The potential is there. We used to live like this. But God transformed us when He saved us. But now you have been purified from sin. You have been made holy. You have been given perfect standing before God. All because of the power of the name of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and through our union with the Holy Spirit. We begin to see this picture unfold a little bit clearer. That there was a problem. The problem was sin. Jesus came and he gave himself. And because of his blood, we have been cleansed. We used to live like that, but we no longer live like that because God began this process of transforming us. It says we have been made holy. We have right standing with God. We have it because of the blood of Jesus. Here's the key that we cannot forget. We have it because of our union with the Spirit of God. I like the words there. Sometimes we can just say the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives or the power of the Holy Spirit. And those are good translations and they're applicable. But union implies something different. It implies a continued connection. I continue to be connected to the Spirit. I continue to allow the Spirit to work in my spirit. And my spirit, who has been made alive because of the work of Jesus, connects with his spirit. And there is a union. There is a union. Not once a week, not once a month. There is a constant union between me and the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he works a work of sanctification in my life. So just to remind you, focus on the last one. Sanctification is God's work of making us look more like Jesus. Scripture, I think we read it earlier in the series as well. So all of us who have had this veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. It is a joy. It is a joy that God himself would come to each individual sitting here this morning, each one listening on our live stream later during the week, that he would come and he would say, but I am pleased enough with you. Number one. I am pleased enough with you. Number two. The power of the cross is strong enough. And the working of the Holy Spirit is more than able and capable of transforming you into someone that looks like Jesus. People wear these bracelets. And it says, what would Jesus do? I don't argue with that. That's great. What do you want to add? How would Jesus be? Not just what would he do. See, because what he did was because of who he was. Because he looked like the Father. He looked like the Father. It says he only spoke what he heard the Father saying. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Jesus might be the completely wrong word because he didn't need to be fixed. But he was completely sanctified. He was completely holy. He was completely dedicated to God. Because of that, he is Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus be in this circumstance? We get to be like Jesus. He wants to transform us into his image. So briefly, we're going to be running out of time a little bit. Let's look at the work of the Spirit. Romans 8, 9 to 10. But you are not controlled by the sinful nature. I mean, you don't need to struggle with that thing anymore. You are not controlled by the sinful nature. You've been sanctified. The blood of Jesus was enough. He has made you whole. He has restored the connection with him. You are in relationship with your Father. You are his child. You are not controlled by the sinful nature. It says you are controlled by the Spirit. And now the wheels are turning, because they always turn when I read the scripture. Because when we look into the Word of God, it becomes like a mirror. And when we read these verses, we look at ourselves and we see ourselves. And the reality is, sometimes I am controlled by the flesh. And there are days when it feels that the Spirit is nowhere near me. And then we begin to think, but this is not for me. This is for certain special people. I want to remind you, God is pleased enough with you. His blood in His power of the cross is strong enough for you. And the ability and the working of the Holy Spirit is more than able for you to be completely sanctified. You see, because the writer of Romans knows that we're going to struggle with this, so he's going to qualify this. He's going to help us. He says, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living within you. Now it becomes a little bit more palatable. Yes, I accepted Jesus, so I have the Spirit of God living in me. I don't always feel like it, but that must be true. Then he makes this statement, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of God living in them do not belong to Him at all. So you, my friend, have two options here. It's binary. It's one or the other. Either you say, I don't belong to Him at all, or you say, I am controlled by the Spirit of God. Those are the options. And if I am controlled by the Spirit of God, if I have a union with the Spirit of God, then daily Christ is journeying with me. God the Father is journeying with me. The Holy Spirit is journeying with me. And He is transforming me to someone who looks every day a little bit more like Jesus. Just in Christ lives within you, even though your bodies will die because of sin. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. You've accepted Jesus. Galatians 5:22. So just to refresh your memory, before that, again, there's a long list of sins, the work of the flesh, similar to the ones that we read earlier. And it is a contrast between the work of the flesh, someone who is controlled by their natural desires, and someone who is controlled by the Spirit. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. So you can either be controlled by the flesh, and the condition for that is that you don't belong to Him at all. Otherwise, you open yourself to the working of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will produce this kind of fruit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. That last sentence is important. Because what is he saying here? He's saying, if you allow the Holy Spirit to produce this fruit in your life, then you look like Jesus. And there is no law against that. There is no condemnation. You are in right standing with God. You have been sanctified completely. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, Galatians continues, have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Spirit of God, Romans 8, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. When those ladies walked up to that tomb on that Sunday morning, and the question was, who was going to roll away the stone? They weren't even asking the right question. Because besides the stone being rolled away, there was no dead Jesus for them to put their spices on. Because the Spirit of God raised Jesus to life. What did that take? How much power did that take to cause someone who is dead to become alive again. Now the writer says, but the same Spirit lives within you. See, previously he said, you are controlled by the Spirit of God if the Spirit of God lives within you. Here he gives an insight into the power of that Spirit that lives within you. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to raise you to life, to bring you spirit, soul, and body into alignment with God so that you can look like Jesus. By his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. God has given us everything to live a godly life, to live a sanctified, holy, set-apart life that serves him fully and wholly. Galatians 5 and verse 16. So I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The work of Jesus is enough. God likes you enough. He's pleased with you enough. He wants you as his. And if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our lives, if we respond to his promptings, he will work an incredible work in our lives. Right. I think on the life of Jesus, there's many people who have attempted to make videos or films or stories of the life of Jesus. For the South African context, and those a little bit older, Richard van der Berg many years ago made one. It was the Book of Matthew. The moment we have the chosen. And so often when someone tries to make this real, tangible, it so shocks our thinking. One scene from Richard van der Berg's, I can't remember the title of the film story on the Book of Matthew. And what he did is he literally took it word for word. So there was no changing of anything. There was a narrator, or there was Jesus speaking, or there was a leper speaking, word for word, they went through the book of Matthew. And there's one scene, if I remember correctly, it was a leper or a blind man, can't remember, that was healed. And this blind man or this leper, after he was healed, jumped up and he embraced Jesus, and he jumped so hard that Jesus, in the story as they were filming it, fell down. They began to roll in the dust and they began to laugh with joy. See, just as God healed that blind man or that leper, and the result was joy. In the same way, God wants to sanctify you. He wants to look in you and he wants to work a work of healing. Because that blind man looked a little bit more like Jesus when he was able to see. And the result of that was incredible joy. In the same way God is to take me. It might be painful and it might be difficult. He wants to make me to look a little bit more like Jesus. So we send out this morning with the sermon notes, we send out just a short prayer guideline to help you. If you go home, you can go look at that. There's some scriptures, some of them we looked at this morning, that you can meditate on. Speaking of the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to sanctify you. There's a little bit in the middle, a process of repentance. Allowing the Holy Spirit to shine His light within us. Then it ends by saying this, now open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to bring healing in that area. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Father, as we look into your word, we see the reflection of ourselves coming back, we are confronted. Because the truth is, we don't look anything like Jesus. The more we look at the beauty of Jesus, the more we realize that we don't look like Him. God, but in that moment, would you grab a hold of our feet so we don't run away? Would you whisper into our hearts, I am pleased with you. My blood is enough, and my spirit is more than able. And in that moment, would you begin to transform us so that we can look more like you? God, we don't want to run away from you. We want to run to you. We want to bring our brokenness to you. We want to bring our failures to you. We're going to say, God, we need you to come and fix this. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the union with your Spirit. Thank you that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within us. Holy Spirit, we surrender to your work. This morning, we confess and we repent that so often we try to do it in our own strength. We want to ask you to come in and transform us and to make us look more like Jesus. And Father, as we end this one, the beginning part of laying a foundation of the work of sanctification, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who preach afterwards. You would continue to speak to our hearts about this incredible truth. Because of the blood of Jesus, because of the work of Christ, we have a restored relationship with you. And that now as we begin to journey through the other things, we can begin to say, Father, we are excited. We look forward with inexpressible joy that you would take the potential that is there and you will make it a reality in our lives. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.